Well, it's a Friday edition of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. Welcome. This is episode 441, only three away from episode 444. I'm your host, Steve Webb. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. And we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament. Track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate the tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today we begin the book of Mark with the reading of chapters 1 and 2 from the God's Word translation. It's thought that this book was written by the Mark that the Apostle Paul was displeased with in Acts chapter 15, but later spoke highly of in Colossians 4 and 2 Timothy 4 and Philemon 24. The Apostle Peter refers to him as his son in 1 Peter 5. Not because Peter was his actual father, but because Mark was probably a student of his. Mark was an eyewitness to much of Jesus' ministry and tells of many of the miracles that he did in this gospel. He wrote this book while in Rome in the universal language of the day, Greek. Are you ready? Let's begin. Mark chapter 1. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The prophet Isaiah wrote, I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way for you. A voice cries out in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer was in the desert telling people about a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. John was dressed in clothes made from camel's hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, The one who comes after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to bend down and untie his sandal straps. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. As Jesus came out of the water, he saw heaven split open, and the Spirit coming down to him as a dove. A voice from heaven said, You are my Son, whom I love. I am pleased with you. At once the Spirit brought him into the desert, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was there with the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and told people the good news of God. He said, The time has come, and the kingdom of God is near. Change the way you think and act and believe the good news. As he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net into the sea because they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, Come, follow me. I will teach you how to catch people instead of fish. They immediately left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went on a little farther, he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat preparing their nets to go fishing. He immediately called them, and they left their father Zebedee and the hired men in the boat and followed Jesus. Then they went to Capernaum. On the next day of worship, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching. Unlike their experts in Moses' teachings, he taught them with authority. At that time, there was a man in the synagogue who was controlled by an evil spirit. He shouted, What do you want with us, Jesus from Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus ordered the spirit, Keep quiet and come out of him. The evil spirit threw the man into convulsions and came out of him with a loud shriek. Everyone was stunned. They said to each other, What is this? This is a new teaching that has authority behind it. He gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. The news about him spread quickly throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. After they left the synagogue, they went directly to the house of Simon and Andrew. James and John went with them. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. The first thing they did was to tell Jesus about her. Jesus went to her, took her hand, and helped her get up. The fever went away, and she prepared a meal for them. In the evening, when the sun had set, people brought to him everyone who was sick and those possessed by demons. The whole city had gathered at his door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases and forced many demons out of people. However, he would not allow the demons to speak. After all, they knew who he was. In the morning, long before sunrise, Jesus went to a place where he could be alone to pray. Simon and his friends searched for him. When they found him, they told him, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus said to them, "Let's go somewhere else, to the small towns that are nearby. I have to spread the good news in them also. This is why I have come." So he went to spread the good news in the synagogues all over Galilee, and he forced demons out of people. Then a man with a serious disease came to him. The man fell to his knees and begged Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus felt sorry for him, reached out, touched him, and said, "I'm willing, so be clean." Immediately his skin disease went away, and he was clean. Jesus sent him away at once and warned him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, show yourself to the priest. Then offer the sacrifices which Moses commanded as proof to people that you are clean." When the man left, he began to talk freely. He spread his story so widely that Jesus could no longer enter any city openly. Instead, he stayed in places where he could be alone, but people still kept coming to him from everywhere. Mark chapter 2. Several days later, Jesus came back to Capernaum. The report went out that he was home. Many people had gathered. There was no room left, even in front of the door. Jesus was speaking God's word to them. Four men came to him carrying a paralyzed man. Since they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof over the place where Jesus was. Then they lowered the cot on which the paralyzed man was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Some experts in Moses' teachings were sitting there. They thought, "Why does he talk this way? He's dishonoring God. Who besides God can forgive sins?" At once, Jesus knew inwardly what they were thinking. He asked them, "Why do you have these thoughts? Is it easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your cot, and walk'? I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralyzed man, "I'm telling you to get up, pick up your cot, and go home." The man got up, immediately picked up his cot, and walked away while everyone watched. Everyone was amazed and praised God, saying, We have never seen anything like this." Jesus went to the seashore again. Large crowds came to him, and he taught them. When Jesus was leaving, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting in a tax office. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house. Many tax collectors and sinners who were followers of Jesus were eating with him and his disciples. When the experts in Moses' teachings, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Those who are sick do. I've come to call sinners, not people who think they have God's approval." John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came to Jesus and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples fast, but your disciples don't?" Jesus replied, "Can wedding guests fast while the groom is still with them? As long as they have the groom with them, they cannot fast. But the time will come when the groom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast. No one patches an old coat with a new piece of cloth that will shrink. Otherwise, the new patch will shrink and rip away some of the old cloth, and the tear will become worse. People don't pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the wine will make the skins burst, and both the wine and the skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh skins." Once on a day of worship, Jesus was going through the grain fields. As the disciples walked along, they began to pick the heads of grain. The Pharisees asked him, "Look, why are your disciples doing something that is not permitted on the day of worship?" Jesus asked him, "Haven't you ever read what David did when he and his men were in need and were hungry? Haven't you ever read how he went into the house of God when Abiathar was chief priest and ate the bread of the presence? He had no right to eat those loaves. Only the priests have that right. Haven't you ever read how he also gave some of it to his men? Then he added, the day of worship was made for people, not people for the day of worship. For this reason, the Son of Man has authority over the day of worship. May God bless the reading of his word. Hey, show 444 is next Wednesday. Now would be a great time to make a value for value donation. Those who donate $4.44 between now and then will get my reading of the entire New Testament as a thank you from me. And if you donate $44.40, you'll get the New Testament plus the Pentateuch, the Psalms and Proverbs, and my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. That has every name in the Bible and how to pronounce it. Took me 2 years to write. Also, I'll thank you by name on episode 444, unless you prefer to remain anonymous. All you'll have to do then is let me know that that's your wish. This show is brought to you by me and the listeners who value what we're doing here. Is it worth the cost of a caramel frappuccino at Starbucks? Or maybe a nice dinner out with your spouse or a significant other? If so, now would be a great time to make a donation. I've set up a special page for you. Go to support444.lifespringmedia.com. That's support444.lifespringmedia.com. It would mean a lot to me, and I do need your support. Let's look for a moment at chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Here it is again. Four men came to him carrying a paralyzed man. Since they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof over the place where Jesus was. Then they lowered the cot on which the paralyzed man was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." So here's the situation. Jesus has begun his ministry, and he is now known far and wide for the miracles and healing that he's done. And now he's in a home, speaking God's word to a crowd. It's so crowded that there's no room in the house. And the friends of this paralyzed man wanted Jesus to heal their friend, but they can't get close to him because of the crowd. So they took him, in his cot, up to the roof where they made a hole through which they could lower their friend to where Jesus was speaking. And now here is the key phrase. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." When Jesus saw their faith. How many of us say we have faith and yet do nothing to show it? Faith is more than just mentally saying, "I believe." It's more than just saying amen when the preacher says something that we agree with. It's more than liking a Facebook post. This man's friends did something that was radical. They so believed that Jesus could heal their friend, which Jesus did do in addition to forgiving his sin, that they somehow got him in his cot to the roof of a house, broke a hole in the roof while an astonished crowd watched, interrupted the great teacher and miracle worker, and presented their friend to him. I'm sure most of the people there thought that these men were out of their minds. Foolish, crazy, rude, out of line. Call it what you will. But Jesus saw their faith. Faith has legs. Faith takes action. It doesn't just wait around for God to move. Faith says, "God will, and I will go where He is." When was the last time your faith had legs? If you'd like to leave a comment, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 441.lifespringmedia.com. Or you can tweet me at _SteveWebb_, #LifespringMedia. Hey, have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.